KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:02, it's mostly clear and 22 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be mostly sunny and breezy today, a high of 38. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. News is brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. The Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening approved the final plans and specifications along with the authorizing of bids for the park maintenance building. Bids for the project are slated to be received by no later than March 28th for review. The contract will be awarded during the council's meeting on April 3rd. The project is expected to cost around $311,000. In other business, the council approved the plans, specs, form of contract, and estimated costs for the 2013 street improvement project. The bid opening was held Wednesday afternoon. Snyder & Associates engineer Dave Sturm said there were four bids for the project. He recommended and the council approved the awarding of the contract to Precision Contract Services in Atlantic for $1.75 million, which was just under the engineer's estimated project cost of a little more than $1.8 million.
And this does include reconstruction of four blocks of 4th Street that was changed. It was originally asphalt, so we did change it over to reconstruction because it's in really bad shape and it's really warped to the site. So that's why I talked to Doug this afternoon. The original estimate from last fall was $1.8 million, and that included engineering. So with this revision, it's a little bit higher than what it was last fall, but the numbers are good for what we went out to bid with.
Sturm said it's likely that Henningsen Construction of Atlantic will be the subcontractor for the project through Precision Concrete, since the two companies worked hand-in-hand with each other on last year's street projects, with Henningsen having won the low bid that time around as the prime contractor. Construction is likely to start early next month. The council also took action on referring a request for $250,000 in tax increment financing grant for the development of a housing subdivision to the Community Development Committee for its review and recommendation. The request for financial assistance came from developer Don Sontag, who proposed the construction of a 10-duplex condominium complex in the area known as Southern Heights 2. If built, it's expected about half the units would be sold, the other half rented. News time is 8:04.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
The Atlantic City Council on Wednesday approved the use of an e-notify text message notification system for firefighters and emergency responders. While some firefighters in the community already receive text messages about fires and other emergencies on a test basis, the remainder are expected to be integrated into the system within a couple of days, according to Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese. The text message system would supplement and not replace the pagers carried by all firefighters and emergency responders. Cass County 911 Coordinator Rob Coppert appeared before the City Council to explain how the system works, its drawbacks, and advantages.
Our computer-aided dispatch system is able to automatically, without any further work of our dispatchers, automatically push text messages of certain types of calls out to whomever we see fit. One of the things that we thought was to push these text messages to the fire departments of the call. The one thing that concerned us when we were looking at this was the reliability of these text messaging and whether or not we could get to the fire departments in response in a reasonable amount of time.
Coppert said his research shows that when the e-notify system was used by some fire departments in the eastern U.S., firefighters who weren't using their pagers anymore and relied only on their cell phones for text message alerts. The result was that some missed their text messages and failed to respond to fires or other emergency calls. He said the same thing could happen here if firefighters rely only on their cell phones for notifications.
With the pagers, I am pretty confident that we can get the message out to the fire departments. It's a very simple system that does not fail. Unless the tower falls over, we're going to be paging the fire department. And it's something that I can control. With the text messaging, I cannot control it once it leaves the comm center. We send these messages out as text emails. They go up to our exchange server, which happens to be Solutions up in Spencer, via the internet, and then again via the internet to the various providers, whether it be Verizon or U.S. Cellular or whomever. And then they're distributed along their network to the phones.
And he says there is a time delay factor in getting the message to firefighters. Coppard said 98% of the time the text message system works fine.
But occasionally we get them a minute or two late, an hour late, and even up to 24 hours later. In some cases, we didn't get them at all. So there's the liability issue. We don't want the fire departments to not carry their pagers anymore and to rely on this as a primary means of notification.
He said the system is great as a secondary means of communication, and it serves to provide a written description of the address of an incident. The agreement approved by the Atlantic City Council and some other city councils within Cass County stipulates that the 911 center is not responsible for any liability should the fire department elect not to carry their pagers. He said most of the fire departments within the county are going to carry their pagers in accordance with the agreement. The director of the Nishna Valley YMCA in Atlantic gave his annual report to the city council last night. Dan Haynes spoke before city leaders at the senior center while renovations continue at City Hall. Haynes said the YMCA staff are keeping busy and they're still pleased with the way things are going on there in the areas of programming, membership, and facility usage. And as far as the usage, the numbers show the Atlantic YMCA had the lowest number of visits last year, 140,257, since 2004, when there were 122,511 visits. The number of visits peaked in 2008 at 158,465.
The 2012 membership, we had 1,973 units. We did go through a software conversion, so we did some little cleanup there. And then we had a Humana insurance change the way that they fund people or not. And so we had a bunch of those that had dropped off. So that's why that drop right there. We had 253 of the households in 2012 were on some type of a scholarship. And then we had 505 people that are on direct scholarship or subsidized by some other way in programs.
The bulk of the WISE members in 2012 were women, more than 2,430, but the men weren't far behind at 2,331. The facility is most popular among persons ages 30 to 54, followed by the 12 to 17 age group, and then those 65 and up. The facility's fiscal year 2013 budget is just under $1.36 million, including revenue from the Ann Wickman Childhood Development Center. The budget amounts to $1.83 million. A standard annual audit report will be released later this spring. Haynes said the volunteers raised $95,000 for scholarships and subsidies for programming from community members and businesses. The fundraising campaign for this year, according to Haynes, has just gotten underway. And as far as the program is concerned, he said more than 100 second graders went through the WISE free water safety course over the past year. The Jack and Jill preschool program is still going strong. And the YMCA's Flying Sharks Division II swim team won the state championship among Iowa YMCA's last weekend in Marshalltown.
They are going to regionals up in Minneapolis area this weekend and have a pretty good chance of, there's a five state area that's up there swimming and have a very good chance of, and I think they're taking 20 or 30 kids up there again, so that's very good.
Haynes said also that more than 120 children were registered at the Ann Wickman Center and new this past year as a collaboration with the Atlantic Public Library, Cass County Extension, and the school system to provide STEM, or science, technology, engineering, and math, and literacy after-school programs. The Y has 14 volunteer board members led by President Christina Bateman, 7 full-time and 12 part-time staff members, along with the City Council Representative Ashley Hayes. Taking a look at our world headlines of this hour, the UN Security Council plans to vote today on whether to level new sanctions against North Korea following its nuclear test last month. Meanwhile, North Korea is issuing a new threat to launch a preemptive nuclear strike against the U.S. The North is not thought to have mastered the ability to produce a warhead small enough to put on a missile capable of reaching the U.S., though. President Obama is inviting the top House budget writers to the White House for lunch today. Obama's lunch date with Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan and Ranking Democrat Chris Van Hollen follows his dinner last night with a dozen Republican senators. Obama is trying to build support among rank-and-file Republicans for starting talks on a long-term deficit reduction deal. Subaru is recalling more than 47,000 cars and SUVs with remote starters. The carmaker says that engines can start on their own. Subaru is recalling some Legacy and Outback cars made from 2010 to 2013, the Impreza from 2012 and 13, and the XV Crosstrek made in 2013. Subaru says if the key fob is dropped, the engine could start on its own. KJAN News Time is 8:12.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And in the funeral announcements, Roy Schilling, age 79 of Aspinwall, died Sunday at Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Roy Schilling will be today at 10:30 at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Viola Dowd of Stockton, California, died February 25th. Interment for Viola Dowd will be today at 11 o'clock at the Greenwood Cemetery in Cumberland. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Frederick Reichel, age 85 of Erling, died Monday at the Little Flower Haven Nursing Home in Erling. A mass of Christian burial service for Frederick Reichel will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Defiance. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Betty Eileen Johnson, age 97 of Avoca, died Monday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Betty Johnson will be this morning at 11 o'clock at the United Church of Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Ron Raymond Pash, age 57 of Harlan, died Monday. Funeral services for Ron Pash will be held on Friday at 11 o'clock at the First Baptist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements for Ron Pash. Martinus Irving Christensen, age 88 of Newton and formerly of Harlan, died Sunday at the Skiff Medical Center in Newton. A memorial service for Martinus Christensen will be Saturday at the Pence Tribute Center in Newton. Pence Reese Funeral Home in Newton has the arrangements. Ronald Nielsen, age 88, a resident of the Heritage House in Atlantic, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Ronald Nielsen will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Lewis United Congregational Methodist Church in Lewis. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Warren Tibbles, age 92 of Omaha and formerly of Carson, died Sunday at the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Warren Tibbles will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Carson. Lus Hills Funeral Home in Carson has the arrangements. Fern Nelson, age 91 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Fern Nelson will be on Saturday at 2:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Beverly Kunkel, age 84 of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. A memorial service for Beverly Kunkel will be on Monday at 10 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Scott Shook, age 42 of Guthrie Center, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Scott Shook will be on Tuesday at 10 o'clock at the Guthrie Center High School Gymnasium. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Dale Fredrickson, age 83 of Elkhorn, died Wednesday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Dale Fredrickson are pending at Odie Funeral Home in Elkhorn. Annabelle Peterson, age 89 of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Annabelle Peterson are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Ray Wingle, age 84 of Manila, died Wednesday at the Manila Manor. Services for Ray Wingle are pending at Odie Funeral Home in Manila. That's a check of our news and funeral announcements brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.